Davidson. I'd like you to join me and the ministers of music from here, Water of Life Church in Plano, Texas, as we minister the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, which is the power of God. I'm going to begin by telling you about a man named John Newton. John Newton was 23 years old. This was back in the 1700s. He was in the North Atlantic on a ship, and the ship was in dire peril. In fact, the ship looked like it was going to be lost. John Newton, 23, his mother had died when he was the age of 6. His father was a merchant marine, so he joined his father when he was 11. He ended up being what he would call very insubordinate, very rebellious, had a reputation for being the worst of the worst of sailors. And he's only 23. He was known to be the best at cursing around him. People knew him because he liked to make other people sin. He was so insubordinate and so rebellious that they forced him into the British Navy. And when he was in the Navy, he ran away. They got him. They flogged him. They demoted him. They put him on a slave ship. So he worked on a slave ship before he's 23. He was made a slave himself. They chained him to the ship. He almost died of starvation. He was given as a slave to a slave trader, and the trader treated him brutally. And the only reason that John survived, the captain that knew his father recognized him and saved him. Now he's on this ship, the Greyhound, and it's in peril. It's filling up with water, and they had no chance of survival. John was standing at a place on the ship, and he moved over to get something, and the friend that was standing with him was washed overboard. John turned around and saw his friend go into the water. And in those days, you went into the water. They can't turn the ship around. You're dead. He's gone. He chained himself and another seaman to the ship pump to try to pump the water out of the ship. And he told the captain, he said, if this doesn't work, God have mercy on us. Well, John would tell you that when he said that, those words were heard in heaven. God have mercy on us. And John will tell you that that is where grace began to work. That's what he called it. He said, at that moment, grace began to work. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he said, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, notice that, but, I persecuted the church of God, but. You know, I love that word, but. Sometimes that word can be one of the most comforting words you will ever read, but. By the grace of God, I am what I am. At this point, what was Paul? He was the apostle to the Gentiles. God sent him into Asia and Mesopotamia, and he got millions or hundreds and hundreds of people saved. He was an apostle. He could heal. He had the Spirit of God healed through him. He did all those works, all these miracles. That's what Paul was. And how did he say he got it? By the grace of God. What is grace? What is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is undeserved favor. You don't deserve it. You don't ask for it. Sometimes you don't even want it. But what is grace? It is undeserved favor. That's what John Newton was talking about. And Paul says here in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace, by his undeserved favor, he said, which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And look at this next phrase. Yet not I. I labored abundantly, more than they all. I worked harder than the rest of them. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Notice, grace works. Grace works. Grace works. And that story I told you, grace was working on John Newton. Grace worked on Paul. Why could Paul do the things and go the places that he did? Because of grace. Because of grace. Paul didn't deserve it. He told you he didn't deserve it. He said that he was least because he persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, the grace, by undeserved favor. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. I love this here. 1 Peter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 9. And this is Peter speaking. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And look at verse 10. Of which salvation, what salvation? The salvation of your souls. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace. You see, they prophesied of the grace, the undeserved favor, the grace that should come unto you, should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, that it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Look at what grace does. Grace signifies, testifies of the sufferings of Christ and the grace should follow, the glory. What was that? That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. What does grace always lead you to? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You will find that grace will always lead you to Jesus. It'll always lead you. But let's go on. It says, manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. Do you see that? Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Do you realize that they were prophesying of something that they didn't have? They did not have. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, didn't have grace. It didn't have undeserved favor. It didn't have that with God. They had the law. And the law was you either do it or you die. Amen. They didn't have grace. But yet these prophets, searching diligently, they saw the grace was coming. They saw that there was going to be a people that God had favor on. God had favor on. And they searched diligently. And you know what? They knew it wasn't for them. Amen. It wasn't for them. It was for us. It was for us. Turn with me to John 1. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace, favor with God, undeserved favor with God, came by Jesus Christ. That and truth. Where does grace always lead you? It always leads you to Jesus. It always leads you to death, burial, and resurrection. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 53. We're going to look at the source, at the power of where grace is. I'm going to read to you verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And look at this next phrase. I want you to look at it. If you've got your Bible, turn there and look at this. This is a wonderful passage. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And look at this. And the Lord, this is Jehovah, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who laid that iniquity on Jesus? Who laid that iniquity on Jesus? Who laid your iniquity on Jesus? The Father did. Amen. The Father did. Jehovah did. You want to know what undeserved favor is? Jesus is in the garden. He doesn't want to go to the cross because he knows what it's going to be like. He knows every bone of his is going to be put asunder. He knows that he is going to be beaten. He knows that he's going to be punched. He knows he's going to have a crown of thorns on his head. He knows that his heart's going to be melted in the midst of his bowels. He knows he's going to die a slow death. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. And he in the garden asked the Father. He said, "My Father, all things are possible. Can you get me out of this?" Do you see what Jesus is saying here? All things are possible. Can you remove this cup from me? Can you get me out of this? And you know what the Father's decision was? Jesus went on and he said, "But not my will. Not my will, but your will." What's your will, Father? What is your will? Can you get me out of this? You as a parent, have you ever had a child come to you and say, "Can you get me out of this? I don't want to do it." And we as parents, when we see them suffering like that, what do we want to do? We want to get them out of it. But this is God, Jehovah, and this is Jesus saying, "Father, what's your will? I'll do your will. What's your will?" And you know what the Father's will was? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. I know you're hurting, but you're going to go to the cross. Why? Because there was a whole lot of other children God wanted to save. There was a whole lot of other children God wanted to save. You. He wanted to save you. His son at that point didn't want to go to the cross, but God said, "You got to go. You got to go. You got to go because I've got children I want to save." And you know what the grace of God is? It says it right here. The Lord put the iniquity on Jesus. For instance, you're a murderer. God took that murder from you and he put it on Jesus. That is grace. That is unmerited favor, undeserved favor from God. He took the murder from that murderer and he put it on Jesus, and Jesus died a murderer. Why? Because God loved you and he had grace. He had grace. Jesus brought the grace. Your iniquity, your perversities, your fear, whatever was wrong about you, whatever was wrong, fearfulness, trembling, rejection, murder, sexual perversion, drug dealing, hate, variance, all these things that are wrong in you, the Father took from you. And by the grace, the unmerited favor, what is wrong with you? What is that thing that bothers you? What is that thing about you that you don't like? You say, "I'm ugly." God took that from you. And he put it on Jesus. He put it on Jesus. He took it away from you and he put it on Jesus. You see what grace is? You didn't deserve it. You didn't even ask for it. Sometimes we don't even want it. But God took it from us and he put everything wrong with us on the body of Jesus. And Jesus hung up in front of the whole world, naked, bearing your sin, bearing your iniquity, bearing everything wrong about you, your poverty, your fear, your fear, your doubt, your unbelief, your rebellion, your insubordination, all of that. John Newton's insubordination. He put it, took it from John, and he put it on Jesus. He put it on Jesus. And you know what Jesus did with it? He died with it. Jesus died the world's worst sinner. Do you realize that? The Father took your sin, put it on Jesus, and Jesus died, the world's worst sinner. The world's worst. And where do you go when you're a sinner? You go to hell. And the Father sent Jesus to hell to pay for your sin. To pay for your sin. You want to talk about undeserved favor? You want to talk about grace? Have you ever considered? And I know some of us, we don't want to consider this. But have you ever considered Jesus burning in hell? Jesus talked about it. He said, I'm on my way to hell. He said, I'm going to go to the lowest parts of the earth. You ask any third grader what is in the middle of the earth, and they'll tell you, molten rock, heat, fire, fire. And that's where Jesus went. The Father sent him to the lowest parts of hell. Why? Because he was the world's worst sinner. He was paying for your and my sin. Jesus was paying for your and my sin. Have you ever considered somebody burning in hell? Somebody burning in hell. That somebody was Jesus, and he was doing it for you. He was doing it for you. And the Father saw, watched him in hell, saw him burning in hell. The wrath of God was on Jesus. The wrath of God was on Jesus. The wrath that God should have had on us, should have put on us, he put on Jesus. He took it out on Jesus in hell. And you know what happened after that? The Father saw Jesus suffering in hell. Saw him suffering in hell. And at one point, then, he became satisfied. He was satisfied with what Jesus did for you and I. Satisfied. That's grace, folks. That's grace. That's undeserved favor. The Father saw what Jesus did for you and I was enough. And he raised Jesus from the dead. And when he raised Jesus from the dead, he forgave every sin that you have ever committed. He had forgiven. He has delivered you from your fear, from your doubt, from your unbelief. He did it when he raised Jesus from the dead. Now this John Newton on that ship, he said after they pumped out as much water as they could, he went to the wheel. For 11 hours, he drove that ship through the storm. 11 hours. He said grace was working. Grace was working. He was under the conviction, the grace of God. You know what grace comes from? It's the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost, that Spirit of grace, was on that man for 11 hours, speaking to him, talking to him, persuading him, moving him. And he said at the end of 11 hours from being the worst of the worst sailor, at the end of 11 hours, he was born again. And not only did that grace bring that man to Jesus, but it kept the ship afloat, and they all survived. What kept the ship afloat? Grace. Grace working. You know that grace is working right now in here? Amen. That grace is working right now in here. You know what John did after he did that? He left the ship. He got married. He became a minister. And when he was a minister in a little town called Olney, England, he wrote a hymn. He wrote a hymn. And that hymn, you know, he wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace. John, after that trip, the 11 hours of the Holy Ghost moving him, talking to him, convincing him of his sin, convincing him of Jesus, he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, one of the most popular songs in history. One of the most popular hymns. And we have it here. We are going to have Paul come, and he's going to minister. Amazing grace, the chains are gone. I would like you to stand while he's ministering this. And I would like you to receive grace, the grace that's here. I'd like for you to receive the grace that God has here for you. If you need anything from God, you can get it here because grace is working. Paul?
Amazing grace. grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God.
The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures.
Join me.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amen. Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com, or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.